If you're among the millions struggling with peripheral neuropathy, I ask you to listen up. Hi, this is Marty Terrell from Sports Overnight America here on Sports Byline Broadcast. As you heard me say, peripheral neuropathy, I've struggled with it. It's annoying. And if untreated, it can really cause some health problems. Now, the bottom line is I reached out to Innovative Wellness, Christy and Andrew Steiger in particular, at InnovativeWellness.Center of Clive, Iowa. They're now gaining clients from all over the Midwest because shockwave therapy, which they prescribed for me, and I did it in a consistent fashion, I got appreciable, verifiable results. Life is better. InnovativeWellness.Center. Peripheral neuropathy is very annoying and can be very, very serious if left untreated. Check it out. InnovativeWellness.Center. Christy Steiger, Andrew Steiger, InnovativeWellness.Center.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. Check it. Without the formal introduction, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Of course, I am your host. I'm also an award-winning boxing writer, and I won 4 Golden Gloves. So, allegedly, supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? You know a little bit more. No doubt about that. Give us a call if you like on the toll-free 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Straight up, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, is going to ask the questions today when I bring in boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. Ask a couple serious questions. Are sanctioning bodies a necessary evil, or are they necessary? We'll talk about that. And, of course, how about the Sheik over there in Saudi Arabia? Is he going to ruin boxing? I mean, Canelo and Crawford, that's a fight he wants to put together. What about Canelo and David Benavidez? Speaking about Canelo, yeah, we can dog him a little bit on today's show because he's going to fight. Mr. Berlanga, the Puerto Rican puncher, can really punch. At one point in time, he was like 18-0 with 18 straight knockouts, something like that. Anyway, bottom line is, his star sort of faded a little bit. This will be Mexico against Puerto Rico, but this isn't Wilfredo Gomez and Salvador Sanchez. This is not a throwback. I think this is a bit of a rout. I think Canelo's looking for another soft touch. What can I say? Charlos, Munguia's. I keep going. Ryder, I keep going. And guess what? You the suckers, you keep buying them. If you keep paying for Canelo's fights, you are a stone-cold sucker. So what I'm trying to tell you then, the question I'm getting to, and I'll get to that with Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, is should we steal? Should we steal signals? I mean, I'll even ask Daniel that question. Should we steal pay-per-view signals? I mean, should it be okay? Because in a sense, the promoters are ripping us off, selling us a product, or trying to sell us a product that's not worth its money. But then again, we go to the grocery store all the time, and we buy groceries that aren't worth the money. Same thing applies. We're not getting the same cash value I think we need to get. Straight up, we'll talk about that with Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, after the break. Once again, the toll-free 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of 2 or 3 pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, Car Shield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Car Shield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with Car Shield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialist right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Sad day in boxing history when Clarissa Shields is the main event. I'm sorry. I'm not a Clarissa Shields fan. Although, she did show a lot of class when she lost that fight. She showed a lot of class when she did lose that one fight. I mean, she was really humble and that kind of good stuff. Something I didn't expect coming out of her. But bottom line is, she just rubs me the wrong way. They call her the GOAT, the greatest woman of all time. Yeah, I don't know. I think Ann Wolfe. Let me tell you about Ann Wolfe. Ann Wolfe was beating up dudes in the gym. In fact, she might have beat up Socrates Palmer a couple of times. But the bottom line is, she would have lumped me up. There's no doubt about it. I mean, she was a terror. They called her, get this, Daniel, they called her Man Wolfe. Not Ann Wolfe, Man Wolfe. Because she was kicking so much male ass in the gym, okay? So I remember when Muhammad Ali's daughter was at the Tyson McBride press conference. Of course, she was fought on that undercard back in 2004 in Washington, D.C. I asked her, hey, what about fighting Ann Wolfe? She said, who? And I said to her, you know what? That would be like your father. That would be like me asking your father who Joe Frazier is and him saying who. Bottom line is, of course, she never fought Ann Wolfe, never wanted to get into that. But the bottom line is, Ann Wolfe is training fighters now. But Clarissa Shields, we'll talk about her a little bit. She's in the main event. I just can't get up for that. But the bottom line is, we can bring in boxing's PAC, Socrates Palmer. I can always get up for that. And how are you today, young man?
I'm doing great. And listen, there's no shame in getting beat up by Ann Wolfe. I mean, she's 52, 53. I'd still be afraid of her.
people don't understand. I mean, it was genuine. You know, I mean, it was genuine. I mean, it was like, I remember a couple of times she came into a couple of gyms. Where was I? I was in Vegas. She came into a couple of gyms, and dudes like they didn't. It's like they were ready to leave. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they were ready to watch, but they weren't. Because she calls dudes out. She goes, "Hey, and she's real smooth about it. She goes, "Hey, do you feel like sparring?" I mean, and what's a dude going to say? I start doing this stuttering routine like Ralph Cramden. The bottom line is, she puts you on the spot, but she was very sportsmanlike. I never saw her take unfair advantage of a woman or a guy, but every sparring session I saw her in, she kicked the snot out of the other person.
Yeah, and listen, the best version of James Kirkland, the former contender at 54, was under her, and she was too rough for him. So he went and found a new trainer, and the first fight with the new trainer, he got knocked out. So Ann Wolfe is beyond old school, and I've never got a chance to meet her. However, from what everyone tells me, she is like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, nicest person outside the ring.
Oh, no, nicest person in the world, but what you know is, she's like, put it this way, You know, the only guy I didn't really confront, and me and him went around the world on three different continents, was Marvin Hagler. I had a way of dealing with Marvin. I didn't go at him like, you know, Pedro, like, right in your face. Marvin, I sort of danced around him. I said, you know, you gave away the first four rounds against Leonard, and then you let him steal three down the stretch. You know, there was only eight rounds left, and you let him steal three of those eight rounds, blah, 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 blah. That's how you lost, and that's how I sort of was able to communicate with him, because if I had went at him like, hey, man, bottom line is this is the way it went down, he might have slapped me. And Ann Wolf, that might have been the same thing. There was nothing really to confront Ann Wolf over with, but the bottom line is, she might have cracked you.
Yeah, yeah. The last time that I saw her, she was an extra in the Wonder Woman movie. It's a shame she didn't capitalize off of her success more.
Okay, a little sad note before we get moving. Samoa boxing coach Lionel Elika Fatupaito died in the Olympic Village. Evidently, there, of course, the Olympics are taking place as I speak. Are they doing any boxing in the Olympics?
Yeah, there's actually. I don't know if this is the last year. It always seems like the last, I would say, 10 years. Like the boxing is on life support.
It's been longer than that.
Yeah. Mm. You know, with the shenanigans with Aiba and everything, and now you know with pros being able to fight, which is just ridiculous.
Man, that's crazy. That is absolute. I can't believe that. That's like letting men fight women. I'm not trying to knock women. I'm trying to say, is it the physical bone structure and this and that, this trans versus trans type of thing? Listen, I'm very pro-trans. I have a couple of trans people that I deal with that on a regular basis. They're cool. There's no doubt about it. But I don't want my daughter fighting a guy. Okay? I wouldn't want my daughter fighting a guy. And I don't think I want my son fighting a girl. I just wouldn't want it that way. And somehow, we talked about this before, bro, but the ones that switch from girls to guys seem to be winning, and the ones that switch from guys from guys to girls don't seem to be winning. Or, you know what I'm trying to say. The bottom line is
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it ain't working out the way it's supposed to. So anyway, let's talk about, is Lomachenko going to be fighting it anytime soon, or is he just, like, waiting for more money? I mean, because the bottom line is he said he was, like, he was distracted at this point in time last week, or he was distracted and didn't want to train hard or something. That's a motivating fact. That's money. That's the old man screaming for more money, isn't it?
Absolutely. Look, this is a guy that's had 400 amateur fights, and straight off, you know, off the rip, I mean, he fought for world title, his third fight. He really has not shown a history of, quote-unquote, ducking anybody. I think it's like you hit the nail on the head. He's waiting for more money. Look, I think the Devin Haney fight took a lot out of him personally, because I think he felt he won, and like I did. He came back, fought Cambosis, stopped him on the road. And you're fighting Tank Davis. This could be the last hurrah. You have to maximize your purse.
Okay.
You know?
Good point.
And 7 years ago, he wanted that fight. But it was Tank's team that said, no, he's too green.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because Tank's been on the scene for a long time. Yeah. I mean, I think 2017... when he beat Pedraza, and they were calling out for that fight. And it didn't happen. Now, you know, 7 years later, now all of a sudden they want it because the man is 37. You better pay up. You know, you better pay up.
He's allegedly 37. I wanted to announce the news to you. That Devin Haney is undefeated.
Well, that's, you know, the sometimes the most powerful entity in boxing is the court. I guess he is, right? That's what his record says. So
I know, but see, he was down 7 times in that last fight, 4 times in one round.
Yeah, look.
How can you erase that from? I mean, here's what's up. Here's the audacity, the balls that his father had. They tried to get that film of him losing to Ryan Garcia, him getting drubbed. They tried to get that scrubbed from YouTube. They had a lawyer go after. I swear, they would have had a lawyer do it.
Yes, and they also tried to go after the Zone for them to erase it from their library. Yeah, that's a little overboard. Yes, very. That was just too egregious. Look, did Ryan Garcia have an advantage? Yes. But he took the money and took the fight anyway. So, you know, so that's out, you know, that's a moot point. You know, so you can't say, okay, yeah, I'll fight you anyway, even though you're 3 pounds over. And then when you lose, complain.
I know, but here's what's up. He didn't have any second thoughts until he got knocked around the first time. From the, I mean, you see the look on his face like, oh, duck with an F. I mean, that's, I was like, ah. I mean, and he was down so many different times and he was hurt and this and that. And, you know, they're trying to resurrect him as a WBC champion at 140 pounds. He says he's going to come back now at 147 pounds. He said he wasn't physically, mentally, or emotionally prepared to fight about a month ago when the WBC put together some type of fight bid or some purse bids. Speaking of purse bids, Oshaki Foster and Robson Canseco, the WBC stepped up and made a mandatory rematch, huh?
I this is the first time I hear about this. Good for them. You know, hey, that it's like a consolation prize. Hey, you got screwed, but hey, at least we're going to give you more money and you're going to fight again.
You know what? That's just it. I don't know if they're going to give them more money. And the bottom line is, listen, I saw Jeff Fenech. Jeff Fenech had a draw with Azuma Nelson. I thought he beat Azuma pretty handily. He was on the Tommy Hearns, Sugar Ray Leonard undercard, I think, in 1989. Anyway, Fenech and I were tight at that point in time. We went out afterwards, and he didn't drink. I mean, didn't smoke, nothing like that. But he was like, he was mind-ducked. He was confused. Yeah. He couldn't believe that he won and he lost. He just couldn't put the one and one didn't come out to three. And that's the best way I could describe it to you. I mean, he was like, and he was never the same again. And he never rose to that emotional height or that physical stature ever once again. Of course, he got drubbed by Azuma Nelson down there in Australia, in his hometown. So the bottom line is that ruined him. I think that bad night ruined him. And then the WBC, they gave him a title belt last year. Like, hey, man, we know you got robbed. So they gave him a title belt. What does that say?
Yeah, I mean, it's the psychological damage that did to him. He just never recovered. And like you said, he got stopped in the rematch. And you wonder the future of Jeff Fenech, you know? I mean, what would have happened after that? Does he fight Azuma again, or does he go on to bigger and better things?
Good point. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More with Boxing's PhD after the break.
How would you like to go on a 5-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for 3 fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a 3-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D. Gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The old dial-up internet here at Sports Byline. That's right, dial-up, baby. We go, when we connect on the internet, you hear that noise. It sounds like a foghorn. That is the dial-up internet here at Sports Byline, no doubt about that. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. There's going to be a heavyweight main event involving a Mexican heavyweight, but he's 17-21. So I guess he hasn't got much of a chance. His name is Cesar Hernan Reynoso. And I used to say that, you know what a Mexican heavyweight used to be in the old days, Socrates?
I think you've told me it before, but for the sake of the show, what do you call a
fat middleweight. Anyway, there's another Zhang around. This one's Genelong Zhang. He's 19-1. He'll be fighting on TV today, I guess so. Of course, that's coming to us from Toronto, Canada. Let's talk about the main man, of course, the main man in the minds of many. I'm talking about Canelo Alvarez. But before we get to that, I want to read what Frank sent me here on Twitch. Frank says, I think many Mexicans that purchase Canelo's not-so-competitive matches look at the fight as an event as opposed to a legitimate boxing match. That's why Alvarez owns a Cinco de Mayo date. Alvarez versus Munguia, not the greatest match, did 500,000 to 550,000. 1,000 pay-per-view buys. How many pay-per-view buys did Jake Paul do? Do you know?
Oh, that's a good question. I haven't seen the numbers, but I will tell you this. It did a great live gate. They sold, I think it was like 16,000 people in that arena.
I think.
Yeah. Either way, not many fighters are putting in, quote-unquote, real fighters, real boxers are putting 16 or 17,000 people in seats. So the circus sells, right?
Did somebody stick a burr under the saddle of Amanda Serrano in that last? Yikes, man. I mean, she destroyed a girl that was came in at like 13-1 with like 12 knockouts. The girl could whack, but she got whacked.
Yeah, Amanda's normally very mild-mannered, a sweetheart, and she was a little ticked because the young lady said that out of all the champions at the weight, that she seems that Amanda seemed like the low-hanging fruit. Well, she got beat up like a piñata, lit up. And Amanda took her out as she should. She was just showed why she's the best fighter, maybe of all time, female fighter.
You know, here's my only contender with her being the best fighter pound for pound as far as women's boxing. Cienessa Sestrada. She's 26 and zip. She's from East L.A., but she's only 100 pounds. She's a great, great ringside announcer, but she's only 105 pounds. So, you know, there's not too many girls who can fight 105 pounds. That's the problem with those lower weights is that there's, like Ricardo Lopez, he went to like 51 and zip, but he never beat any, outside of the of Rosendo Alvarez, who held him to, I think, a real close fight one time, and then, of course, beat him the second time. But outside of that, you know, I mean, he didn't fight anybody, a bunch of jockeys.
You know what? That's another fight that you could have mentioned. Rosendo Alvarez, a lot of people thought got jobbed in that first fight.
Yeah, he did.
Rosendo Buffalo, I think was his nickname. I thought that he won that first fight, and Ricardo Lopez is considered a Hall of Famer, probably like the first guy that Nacho Berenstain had his prints on, that kind of put him on the map. So, yeah, it's hard. It's like also in the amateurs. I'm sure it's probably the same way out there. There's guys that fought at 106 pounds and won the gloves and had walkovers all the way through to the finals. So it's hard to find people that weigh that, that are that small.
No, yeah. I remember some of the upper weights and some of the open divisions and this and that, and when guys would win titles walking through without no opposition, and then we'd go up there and take their titles. I couldn't do it. I mean, I probably would have had to, but I couldn't. I really would have had my team would have had to drag me kicking and screaming to the ring. I fought hard for those titles. They can't give one to me.
Yeah, I mean, you're a different breed, brother.
No. I think anybody that's been in there deep that's been in there deep already has to feel that way as well. Except Canelo Alvarez now, of course, because the guy's like 95 years old, going on 102. At least he's trying to act that way. Of course, he's the so-called undisputed world middleweight champ, super middleweight champ. He became that in November of 2021, but he hasn't defended the WBC title in over 3 years to a mandatory contender, and he hasn't defended the IBF belt in almost the same amount of time. Now, reportedly, the IBF is going to strip him, and Saul Alvarez, Canelo Alvarez, and Edgar Berlanga are going to do their thing in September. And do you think what Frank said, that this is just a Mexican event and not really a Mexican fight day?
Yeah, you can make some. That's somewhat of a good point. You know, it is a party. It's something that we've come to expect. You know, Cinco in May and in September, big Mexican Independence Day weekend. But it's getting to the point, at least for the non-hardened boxing fan, that who cares? You know, wake me up when you fight Benavidez. You know, that's what it's getting to. And I think people see this fight with Berlanga as almost an insult. Now, look, Berlanga is ranked by the BA as their top contender, so, you know, you got to, I guess, respect the bylaws of the sanctioning body.
Okay, all right. Here's the question. Million-dollar question. Uh-huh. Are the sanctioning bodies a necessary evil, or are they even necessary?
That's a good question. I mean, I say yes because of the fact that it gives everyone an opportunity, right, to make money.
So the IBF should have got started in 1986 because black fighters were getting the shaft like Oshaki Foster got a couple of weeks ago with Robinson Canseco. So you think that there was room for the IBF, and the Puerto Ricans were upset because they weren't getting their things, so they started the WBO. Originally, the WBA was a couple of Puerto Ricans, but that went on. Of course, they had their issues, and the guy, I can't remember who the guy was, but he died. It was head of the WBA at one point in time. Of course, now the WBO, the IBF, the WBC, and the WBA are considered the four sanctioning bodies. So you've got four world titles there. Listen, I never had four Golden Glove championships like running four different times at the same time. You hear what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's confusing, you know, at times, but I see it almost as a necessary evil. I mean, back in the day, I mean, I guess when the mob ran boxing, and they manipulated rankings.
Time out. Larry Merchant says these guys are the modern day mob.
Ah, see? So, speaking of Larry, I remember HBO would always trumpet the Ring magazine as the, hey, forget about these, you know, the alphabet soup. Go by the Ring magazine rankings, right? But then, you know, how can you take the Ring magazine serious when they're owned by a promotion like Golden Boy?
So. No. They ranked Earl Spence number 6 pound for pound in the recent list.
No.
Yes. I put it up on my Facebook page, number 6.
Oh, that's absurd.
No. They're trying to steer Spence into a fight with somebody to make some money for somebody else.
Yeah.
Spence has been damaged good since he got tossed out of that car, okay? The fact that he made enough money against Crawford and almost got beat to death, but he made enough money to where he can walk away. He said, look, man, I can walk away. My house is paid for. My wife, my kids are paid. I mean, the whole nine yards. He should just walk. That's what boxing's about, reaching financial security and not jeopardizing your physical health at the same time.
Make the most money you can and with the lowest risk possible. Absolutely. Listen, and he's still not ready to fight because they were having him and Fandora talked about, and I guess he's not ready to come back.
Well, Fandora says he's got to wait on the winner of the Terrence Crawford fight. The guy that's fighting Terrence Crawford, I mean, Eddie Hearn and those guys are trying to pump him up. He's Israel Madrimov, and he's 10-0-1. Somehow, I need Viagra to get up for this guy. Do I?
Look, if you take a quick glimpse at him, he looks like granite. I mean, he's got huge legs or whatever, but Terence Crawford is just a superior fighter. You know, he's got more tools than Home Depot. You know, and I think that is, you know, I think this is going to be a game effort, but eventually Crawford gets him out of there. Look, the fight for Crawford that will probably happen next, it seems like it's going to be Canelo Alvarez. Sad to say.
Yeah, I know. That's my next question. Is this Sheik guy going to ruin boxing by putting together mismatches? I mean, welterweights and super middleweights and this and that, when all the while David Benavidez is sitting there. Like, I mean, what does David have to do? Does he have to, like, do something nude or crazy in front of Canelo's house?
David, does it seem like Canelo's on his radar anymore? Because he's going to fight at 75.
You know, here's what's up. And then he came out with something else a little bit different afterwards. In other words, there's conflicting views or conflicting words coming out of the Benavidez camp. And like Samson, the promoter, said this week that they were going to go with the WBC 175-pound division, waiting for the winner of the Beter Bev and Bivol fight. But then I saw him, David Benavidez, say a couple seconds later, hey, I'm looking for Canelo. Why isn't Canelo fighting me? So anyway, I'm mystified by the whole thing. We'll figure things out. Anyway, you have a good week. Hug the kids. Hug the wife. Have a great week, my brother.
Thank you for having me on, as always, brother. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, boxing's PhD, the great one, Socrates Palmer on Sports Byline.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, that's 800-620-1624.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Muhammad Ali once said,
"Impossible is just a big word thrown around by small men who find it easier to live in the world they've been given than to explore the power they have to change it. Impossible is not a fact, it's an opinion. Impossible is not a declaration, it's a dare. Impossible is potential. Impossible is temporary. Impossible is nothing. It isn't the mountains ahead to climb that wear you out. It's the pebble in your shoe. Ignore the opinions of others. Believe in yourself when no one does. When everyone chooses the stair lift, walk up the stairs. If people don't have the life that you want, why do you listen to the opinion they give you? Smile more. Worry less. Love more. Hate less. Give yourself to the world and don't try to take it for yourself. Live every day as if it were your last, because one day you're going to be right."
Words of the wise man, born 1942, Cassius Clay, Louisville, Kentucky. Of course, changed his name to Muhammad Ali in 1964 after capturing the World Heavyweight Championship by stopping Sonny Liston, of course, when Sonny wouldn't get off the stool. Bottom line is, 33 years ago today, according to Frank here at Twitch, Michael Moore stopped Alex Stewart, of course, in the fourth round. Of course, that was in Norfolk, Virginia, the boxing hotbed. Anyway, bottom line is, Michael Moore said recently that he's broke. Well, that's on him. I mean, because the bottom line is, at one point in time, he had Emmanuel Stewart running the show, okay? And then he decided he didn't want to give it. Here's the way Emmanuel had it. Emmanuel was the manager, so he got his cut, 33%, okay? And then Emmanuel had a training team, so he got another 10%. That's just the way it was done. Instead of having a manager and a trainer, those were the two guys. That's the way it was done as far as Kronk was concerned. Some guys resented that, okay? In other words, if you went somewhere else, you'd have a manager like Daniel be my manager and Angelo Dundee would be my trainer. So Daniel would get a third, Angelo would get his 10%. See what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter. That money's going to get cut up. Anyway, Michael Moore didn't like that, and he left Emmanuel Stewart, of course, and then he sort of like became a ragaband type of guy. In other words, bottom line is, he was up, he was down. Of course, 52-4, was stopped three times. As a light heavyweight, he was undefeated. He was a master at 175. And how they got him down to that weight, I have no idea. But 52-4, 40 KOs, of course, most of those coming at light heavyweight. But the bottom line is, Michael Moore, of course, is famous for one thing, being knocked out by an old man. I mean, that's pretty cold. I mean, that's why he's depressed. I'm broke. No, blood. You got knocked out by an old man. That's what's tough. I mean, anytime you turn on, like, the old HBO boxing, they would show Michael Moore getting knocked out by George Foreman. George Foreman could barely pick up his hands. He was so old, 45 years old. Couldn't lick a stab you with his tongue sometimes, right? Bottom line is, though, but if he caught Michael Moore on that chin, of course, and he knocked Michael Moore out. Speaking of Michael Moore, I don't think I may have told this maybe a few times in the past, but he was a bomb maker. The guy was like out of here. You know what I'm saying? He was in a different world. Anyway, he used to make bombs in Emmanuel Stewart's house. They had a whole bunch of rooms, a rooming house where Emmanuel Stewart lived. It was a rooming house because they had different fighters in different rooms. They were training at different aspects of training camp and this and that. Of course, I got to stay in one of those rooms. I was very lucky. But the bottom line is, Michael Moore made bombs in those rooms. And instead of the bombs blowing up in the room, he would go set them off on the fence outside. So he went set off one bomb. It blew the gate off the wall. There was, you know, the gate in between. Boom, just blew it off. The gate was laying flat. Emmanuel came up and said, "What the hell?" Of course, Michael Moore did some other crazy things. But as light heavyweight, he was a great fighter. As heavyweight, not so much. But the bottom line is, he's complaining about being broke. That's on you, man. I mean, Emmanuel and those guys had some annuities and things like that put together for their fighters. You should have stuck with them, because the bottom line is, of course, you would have had some money. I think, let me tell you about annuities. I think that Mark Breland gets $50,000 a year tax-free for the rest of his life because he waited to the age of 50 before he went into this annuity. Well, money boxers like Roberto Duran, all the guys on the 1976, all the guys on the 1984 Olympic team, except for Mark Breland, Pernell Whitaker, Evander Holyfield, Terrell Biggs, all those guys, they all cut into their to their pension funds. They all got into their pension funds, so they weren't able to collect. But the bottom line is Mark Breland, genius as he was, money-wise, of course, a one-time welterweight sensation. Not really. I mean, as an amateur, he was the greatest. I mean, I went and saw him. I was at the Olympic trials in Colorado Springs, and I was looking at him saying to myself, I could spar this guy. I could spar this guy. Then he came out of the ring, and he was like that much bigger than me. I said to myself, maybe not. I mean, because, you know, he's just a skinny guy, right? No. Mark Breland was a little bit more than skinny. Anyway, let's talk about the best fighter pound for pound in the world of boxing, especially when it comes to Japanese. Is it Nonoa Inoue? Well, yeah, of course. But the bottom line is the number two guy is Junto Nakatani. Now 28-0, 21 knockouts. Although the knockout he scored last week over a guy by the name of Vincent Astrolobio, who's now 19-5, I think with 11 KOs from the Philippines, it was a dive. It was a dive. He hit him in the belly, and I mean, the glove didn't go in. I slowed the punch down. The glove didn't go in. What the guy did was he saw it was a perfect opportunity to get the hell out of here without getting hurt. I'm out of here, and that's just what he did. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, one of those guys tried to do it with a low blow in the first round. I mean, rolling around in the first round. In other words, if I can get out of here without kicking my ass, without an ass whooping, I'm going to do it. And I think that's exactly what Mr. Astrolobio from the Philippines did. In the meantime, of course, Nakatani raising up the list as far as the pound-for-pound kings are concerned. Of course, he is a WBC bantamweight champion. That's 118 pounds, of course. And he's won titles at three weights, I think 112, 115, and now 118, of course. And the big fight would have to be with the Inoue. Inoue being the 122-pound title holder. Of course, he comes to us from Japan as well. I mean, that fight would sell... They don't have an arena big enough in Japan for that fight. In fact, they probably don't have an arena anywhere in the world big enough for that fight if they were able to transport Japanese fight fans there. Because I kid you not, they will travel to see their stars, no doubt about that. Speaking of Japanese stars, Joe Kazumi was a promoter, a boxing reporter. I mean, he was Mr. Boxing. He was like, he was everything there was. Trainer, manager, promoter, boxing writer, the king of the ring as far as writing was concerned in the land of the sun. Talk about Japan. I saw a picture of him and myself on the internet the other day, and I'll never forget the time I was going to do a show. I guess it was about 1995 or 1996. I'm in Atlantic City, and I've got to get upstairs because it's 11:05. I'm going on the air at 11:06 on KNBR, so I've got to run upstairs and get the phone, right? I mean, get on the phone, right? So I'm banging on the elevator thing. Come on. And Joe Kazumi comes up to me and says, Pedro, my friends want to take a picture with you. And I told him, no. He didn't talk to me for 10 years. I mean, it was Japanese customs. I'm sorry, but the bottom line is, Joe Kazumi, anyway, I saw a picture of he and I on the internet, and the bottom line is he's still rocking and rolling and doing his thing over there. The only knock I ever had on Joe is I think he was part of that Luisito Espinoza promotion where Luisito drew over 100,000 people in the Philippines and never really got paid. So I'm not big on that. So, hey, if Nakatani is making his move up the ladder as far as pound-for-pound fighters are concerned, of course, where does that put his trainer? Of course, Rudy Hernandez, the brother of Gennaro Hernandez, at one point in time, Gennaro's trainer. And now he says that this fighter that he's got, Junto Nakatani, 118-pound champion, as I said, from Japan, 28 and zip, 21 KOs, he is better than his brother. Well, you know, okay, I'll go along with that. But the bottom line is you got to give Gennaro some props. We talked about Gennaro many times on the show. Of course, he appeared on this show less than 72 hours before he died. He did it as a last effort to sort of get his word out there and to say goodbye to me, and he had me crying on the air and that kind of good stuff. So it was a mad, mad, mad experience. I think Cuddy in the other room, as cold as Cuddy was, I think Cuddy was even touched by that one. Cuddy's like a little soft on that one. But the bottom line is he would die, you know, 2 days later from cancer. And, of course, he got cancer, and he never smoked, he never drank, he never did anything. In fact, he is the only guy I know in the history of boxing, that nobody can ever say something bad about. Me, lots of stuff to say. There's no doubt about it. Probably none of it all. Some of it's true, probably. But the bottom line is they never said anything detrimental or negative about Gennaro Hernandez, El Chicanito. And may he rest in peace because he was a class act, no doubt about that. I think he would have been 53 or 54 years old if he was still alive. So Nakatani and Inoue, of course, going to be the big fight over there in Japan. That'll be at the Tokyo Dome. That's right next door to this hotel, of course. Big hotel in Vegas. I can't remember. Was it the Tokyo Dome Hotel? I don't think so. It had some big nasty name to it. And we're there having sushi dinners, and I don't eat sushi, so Don King like pays $400 for everybody to eat sushi. I don't eat sushi. So Don screams at me or something like that. I ain't eating that crap. So I went out and got some street food and brought it back. So I'm eating street food, and these guys are all eating $400 plates of sushi, right? It didn't look all that good. Bottom line is, try to accuse me of being ghetto? No, smart. Nobody eats raw fish, not me. Bottom line is, that was pretty nasty. Of course, the fight schedule for this weekend, we talked about this already. Joe Joyce and Derek Chisora coming to us from across the pond. Of course, it looks to me the O2 Arena in London, England. Of course, those are heavyweights. Derek Chisora is so old, I think Daniel fought him 4 or 5 times. And then Joe Joyce, of course, I think he's like lost that one. Big knockout puncher, but Joe's got some... Joe just looks like a big lummox. He doesn't flow athletic. He just really doesn't. So I don't want to kick his ass too much, but the bottom line is he does not flow athletic. Now, pound for pound, as far as the fighters are concerned, next week, of course, we got Terrence Crawford. We talked about that, doing his thing down there in L.A. The Arabs are promoting that. And back to the Arabs and being good for boxing or bad for boxing. Listen, the money fighters make, I want fighters to make money. I do. I want them to make money, but I also want them to fight. I mean, you know, you have to perform now and then. And if you're paying these guys a whole lot of money, they'll only fight once a year. And if they fight once a year, it's going to destroy the game. Because even if you have 4 sanctioning bodies, you can't have guys fighting once a year. Because once a year, guys aren't going to fight the best guy. Case in point, Canelo Alvarez. Of course, WBC number one guy for 3.5 years is David Benavidez. IBF number one guy is William Skull, something like that. But the bottom line is, the reason why Benavidez is not ranked number one across the board is that he's the WBC interim champion. Wink, wink. So they give him this interim belt, and it takes him away from the ratings in the other three sanctioning bodies, okay? So it's sort of like a catch-22 in boxing. You're good if you do, you're good if you don't. But the bottom line is, sanctioning bodies maybe need to be reevaluated. Of course, you know, the boxing's PhD there. He was sort of open-minded as far as the future of sanctioning bodies is concerned, but I just don't know. I mean, we've got the world of, Bunko and Anarchy and the WBA. Of course, they were talking this week about sanctioning a world title fight involving Jake Paul. Say what? Yeah, Jake Paul was the winner last week, but you really want to sanction? You want to sanction a fight with Jake Paul because he beat up a guy that couldn't lick a stamp? He wet his tongue. I mean, this guy Mike Perry was supposed to be the bare knuckle champion, right? He couldn't hold up his hands. I swear to God, and I don't mean to speak illy, but he couldn't hold up his hands. I mean, he couldn't hold up his hands. Am I repeating myself? He couldn't hold up his hands. He kept following Jake Paul around like this with his hands down and getting clipped in the face. Well, guess what? If you give me an open target, you give Daniel an open target. You give Daniel's kids an open target. They're going to eventually hurt you. They're going to crack you, okay? And Jake Paul eventually did hurt Mike Perrin. Of course, he stopped him inside the distance. I wasn't at all impressed with that, but the most impressive girl on the undercard, without a doubt, the most impressive fighter on the card was Amanda Serrano. I mean, she looked absolutely phenomenal. I mean, that girl that she took on was once beaten. She talked a lot of smack going in, but guess what? She got lit up like the White House Christmas tree. As far as the upcoming matches are concerned, of course, that super match with Crawford next week is not going to be that super. Of course, Matchem Off has got a decent record with 1 draw and 10 wins, but the bottom line is he hasn't fought any guys of note, and I really don't expect him to upset Crawford. Crawford's like, is pound for pound. He deserves to be up there, but he's another guy that only fights once a year. I've got a problem with guys fighting once a year. And people, oh, man, you know, guys fight once a year and they're making a lot of money. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you've got to entertain the crowds. You got to give people the fights they want. Right now, at 147 pounds, of course, there are other fights. You could have fought Boots Ennis. Boots Ennis, he moved up to 154 pounds. Did Terrence Crawford, instead of fighting Boots Ennis at 147. And then we see Boots Ennis on television a couple of weeks ago, and he looks really ordinary. I mean, he really doesn't look like a lanky black dude. I mean, just did. He didn't look like he had the pop of Paul Williams. He didn't look like he didn't look like much at all. So I'm trying to say to myself, what are they talking about? Boots Ennis, the next boxing god from Philadelphia? I don't think so. But they did draw well. They did a good crowd. Eddie Hearn and those guys did a good crowd as far as the live attendance in Philadelphia was concerned. But the bottom line is, you know, if it smells, it smells. And I think that Boots Ennis at this point in time still smells. I don't think he smells good. I think he smells a little bit bad. So we'll see if I'm right or I'm wrong. But the bottom line is, I don't think he's much. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
This report is sponsored by After School Alliance. A million people are rallying for after school as part of the 24th annual Lights On After School, organized by the After School Alliance. The event shines a light on the many ways after school programs engage children and youth by making learning fun and providing educational and enriching activities. After school programs are especially important as students recover from the pandemic, but funding shortfalls have left nearly 25 million kids without the after school programs their parents want for them. Quality after school programs keep kids safe, inspire them to learn, and give parents peace of mind. Alliance Executive Director, Jody Grant.
Every day, after-school programs across our country help students discover their talents, build their confidence, and foster their creativity through enrichment and academic supports. As we continue to recover from the pandemic, it's essential that many more students and families have access to these programs. This year, 8,000 Lights On after-school events will focus on the benefits after-school programs provide.
Visit www.afterschoolalliance.org to learn more about Lights On After School.
Remember in the beginning, when you first started to build a life for you and your family, you never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, you're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. That's 800-943-2153.
What would you do if you had a broken bone? You'd go to the doctor and use your insurance, right? Well, what would you do if you have a serious problem with drugs and alcohol? Most people do nothing until it's way too late. Your insurance can help you get clean and sober with the assistance of a place like the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Many times, addiction treatment is fully covered. So why not use your insurance to treat your addiction problem just like you would if you had a broken bone? And with the Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed to take time off by law and your employer doesn't need to know the reason. So there are two good reasons. You've got insurance you can use for your addiction problem, and with the Family Medical Leave Act, it's completely confidential. Call now, 800-771-4125. That's 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
And all these fighters that are, you know, they share in the revenue. They do share in the revenue. They have they have the upside in the pay-per-view, you know?
No, we don't know. That was Dana White, in case you didn't know, my favorite guy. No doubt about that. Of course, the UFC fighters are pimped off, no doubt about that. And we've got guys that have drawn $7 million gates and got $500,000 for that doing so. In other words, we're not even talking about the pay-per-view money. We're talking about the fact that a live gate, $7 million, that got $500,000. Talk about Francis Ngannou. Got $500,000 for a $7 million gate. He sold out the entire gate, sold out the entire house. Sold out house, $7 million. He got $500,000 and a $50,000 bonus thing for fight of the night. Of course, Dana made $7 million in the live gate. How much did he make on the pay per view? God knows how much. Bottom line is Dana White is a pimp, and the state of Nevada gave him that license. No doubt about that. Back in the days, of course, when Lorenzo Fertitta and people like that, of course, he was a former owner of the UFC. But when those guys had juice with the Athletic Commission, they made the UFC legal. Of course, the UFC shouldn't be legal as far as ground and pound is concerned. But the bottom line is, my boy, Dana White, not my favorite guy, no doubt about that. But he's a little upset because of the fact, you know, Canelo Alvarez is going to go, I guess, on the same day he's going to go. Of course, he's going to go with, we talked about a little earlier, Mr. Berlanga, Edgar Berlanga. Of course, this is not a fight that people want to see, but the bottom line is it'll be Puerto Rico against Mexico, so I'm not too down on that because it will bring the rivalry, no doubt about that. But September 14th, Dana White's going to go on the same day, and he says that the Mexican-American fan base in the USC is growing day by day. And I talked about that a long time ago when Steven Espinoza of Showtime told me in San Jose, California, that percentage-wise, he had more Mexicans watching his Bellator MMA cards than he had watching boxing cards. He had more people watching his boxing cards, but he had more Mexicans, per se, watching the MMA cards. So that sort of signaled that MMA was the future in the world of the Mexican boxing population, no doubt about that. But they still cling to Canelo. Bottom line is Canelo's going to get licked like a stamp eventually if he ever fights David Benavidez. Or, take that back, I'm willing to put Daniel up against I'm willing to put Daniel in against Canelo. Forget Benavidez. If you take on Daniel, I'll have some respect for you. Until next week, or actually until tomorrow, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. We come back at Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, actually after the news, right here on the mighty Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, and 1,000 other internet platforms. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of Sports Byline.